All right, welcome back to the Tiny Ashram Studio. I'm Guru Catherine. Good to see you. And we're doing something a little bit different today. We're having a conversation with the fabulous Carrie Trubenbeck. And I'm going to let her tell you who she is. And we're just having a chat. And so this is a little bit different. This is not a pre-prepared thing. We're just having a chat. And we both wanted to let you all in on what that's like. So, Carrie, welcome. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm so excited that we're doing this, Catherine. It's such a great opportunity to just be in our authentic expression of where we're at and where we think that things are moving toward and where they've been. So it's an exciting conversation we're going to have. I have worked as a psychotherapist for many years. But I realized, well, it wasn't until I started to integrate spiritual principles and teaching those, that I really saw that people made a huge difference. So what I do now is more of a spiritual coaching. I still work as a therapist. But I find that it's not a but, and I find that using this principles shorten people's story. It's amazing the results, miracles that happen. So that's one thing. The other thing I'm doing is I just bought some land, and I'm open to creating community, and we'll see what that's like and where that's going, because it's just going to be spirit led. I'm not really sure, but events. Community. I just have a sense that it's about creating community at this point. And so I'm opening myself up to that, and we'll see what happens with that. So lots going on. Yeah, starting a meditation class here in Crystal River on Sundays at 11:11 on Sundays on my land. And so anybody who's in Crystal River is welcome to come.
Oh, that's cool. I did not know that part. Very cool. So if you're near Crystal River, Florida, check that out. And I'll put this up front. Anybody that wants to contact Carrie, send me a message. You can text me at my website, catherinecolleen.com. Find me on the socials. Let me know, and I will connect you. Cool. So I know that coming into this, we were thinking about the big question of, well, what's going on right now? And the now part of that question being so important, right? Because now is all there is. And what's going on in the now, locally, what's going on in the now with humanity, what's going on in the now, period, because that's all that's going on. What are you seeing?
Well, what I'm noticing is that when I'm able to stay now, what I notice is that when I'm not in the now, I'm still working on that kind of fight or flight neurological patterning that's still there. But when I get in now, I can really truly ask myself, are you in danger in any level? And it's always no, that now is the only safe place to be. And we're all looking for safe places these, because things are so unknown. And for a lot of people who don't understand, also don't have a fuller understanding of the changes or shift that's going on, it's especially frightening. But so staying in the now is the only place that we can ask ourselves, okay, is everything okay? Am I okay? And most likely you're going to say yes. And you're going to realize that no matter how you're feeling, you're really okay. And if you can stay in the moment and be okay, then you're going to be okay. But that's the challenge of today. It really is just from dealing with all that's happening, and that's a whole nother thing.
Right. That's causing people a lot of turmoil right now. And I find that so we have this choice to be in the now or to be worrying about the future or to be thinking about the past. But we also have this choice to be in the now here or be in the now outside of here, right? Somewhere else in the world, some, you know, in somebody else's world, right? Outside of that versus in where we are right now. And I find that causes so much turmoil that, right? So we want to be here now. And you have to have both of those. You have to be here and now, and not somewhere else or sometime else.
That is the challenge.
It is.
The mind takes us.
The mind takes us everywhere.
The mind will just take us.
Right. And it's, there's so much going on in the world, which is kind of funny. There's probably always a lot going on in the world. I can't think of a single day when there wasn't plenty to write about in the news of things going on. But people's perceptions, I've noticed people's perceptions of what's going on in elsewhere in the world seem to be more negative lately, as opposed to thinking of it as just change.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. My perception about what's going on now is that we really are being confronted with our old belief systems. Mm. And they're coming up. And they're coming up when we don't necessarily expect it or want it. And sometimes it just feels like it's coming up and we have no control over it. Now, I know that's not true. That's how it feels when it comes up. It's the old stuff. And I really believe that this is a challenging time in particular, more than the last couple of years, in the sense that right now we're really being pushed to release what isn't working and embrace what we want for ourselves, embrace the new. And this is part of the change. And we're in it whether we like it or not, whether we even choose to be in it. We can resist, but what we resist persists.
Yes.
So if we're resisting, yeah, we're just persisting in the muck that we want that we're resisting. Right?
Right. And it's so funny how fear and desire have the same effect. You can want something and bring it to you, or you can fear it and bring it to you. You know, you can resist it and just block yourself. And I can feel people in the audience already saying, but there's some of this new that I'm supposed to embrace is bad or scary, or I just don't know if it's good or bad, or maybe it's both, or I don't know, right? And this meteoric rise of AI is a really funny example of that, of how that's affected people and how they're mm-hmm. acting about it. So there are some mm-hmm. who have decided that the AI instances, whatever, there's lots of them. Everybody says ChatGPT, but there's like 100 of them out there. And they're all like, they just assume that those are gods. They are correct all the time. Everything they produce is perfect. Everything they say is right, which is not true.
But, isn't it?
Right. But they're just going to like, I am just going to lay my life at the feet of AI and to let it tell me what to do. And then you've got the opposite end of that, where it's fear and everybody's seeing Terminator movies in their head going, it's going to kill us all. And the truth is, you know, somewhere in between. It's how you use it and how you discern it, right? So as we come into the new, whether that's some new technology and we're trying to figure out whether, do I fear it? Do I like it? Do I use it? Do I embrace it? Do I stay away from it? I don't know. I think we get paralyzed by this attempting to discern what is right for us. Right. And that's just one example, but you're so right, being faced with our belief systems, having our belief systems really put in our faces, going, look at yourself and what you believe. And now that's hard. That's just hard normally, but to have it really put in your face like it is right now, that's tough. It's hard to look in the mirror, right? So many people would, you know, it's so much easier to look at somebody else and judge them and tell them what they should do rather than to look in the mirror at your own beliefs and what needs to change.
And the truth is that until we rise above judgment, because what is judgment? I mean, let's take a look at that. The judgment in us is saying we know better what's right for that person when we're judging externally. But it's also how we judge ourselves, because judge not, lest ye be judged. I mean, that's just a principle, a universal principle. It's not mine. I'm not religious. But that's how it works. The universe works on certain principles.
Yeah.
And the whole point is, if we're judging ourselves, we're much more likely to judge other people. And in essence, what we're saying when we're judging other people is, even though I know nothing about your journey, where you came from, your ancestral background, really nothing other than what you present to me, I've decided that you need to act a certain way or be a certain way because it makes my world and my life more comfortable. And and I'm going to, essentially, I'm deciding I know better for you than you do for yourself what's best for you or what it is that I want. I mean, when we really look at judgment, it's just another form of human insanity in my opinion, both judging ourselves, like we were supposed to come here like robotic perfection and not make any mistakes or not be in a playground where we get to make mistakes, which is really truly a freedom to learn through just experience without the judgment, though. The problem is that when we have these new experiences, whether new experiences with AI or not, there's so much judgment involved in that and fear, as you said, because of the unknown. We don't know we know we're perfectly capable of being destructive as a race, as a human race. So it can be daunting to think of the ways it could be misused.
Yeah. Well, and thinking about judgment, the other thing that I see people do with judgment, and it's funny, judge not lest ye be judged. And a lot of people take that as if I judge someone else, then some third party deity will punish me with judgment.
Oh yeah.
But it's not right. That's not like what they meant. They're just sort of expressing this universal principle. And what's so funny is that who's judging you? You are, right? So when you judge others, when you're just generally being judgy, you can't help yourself. You're in the judgment mode. You will turn that judgment on yourself. Nobody else has to do that for you. And I do see that people sometimes will judge someone else, which is really to put them in this duality, right? They are good, they are bad, they are right, they are wrong. But they do that in many, many times just to make themselves feel comfortable about their own choices, because they're saying, I see this person who has made a different choice than I did.
Right.
And that makes me uncomfortable because that makes me question my choices. And I don't want to question my choices. I want to be comfortable in my choices. So I'm going to call you bad and wrong. And I want you to make the same choice I did so that I will feel better about my choice.
It's the hive mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I love bringing in the phrase, what if? Because I think what if are the two most powerful words in the whole English language. I love it so much. Beyond my favorite sequence of I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. Right? But beyond those, what what if, because it's so hard to get out of that judging mode of being. And so one thing that I've seen work with people is saying, what if you could both be right?
Oh, what, I like what that.
What if one of you didn't have to be wrong for the other one to be right? What if these were the right choices for you and those were the right choices for the other person?
Exactly.
And what if we could allow that? And then they don't have to give up feeling right about their own choices. And they can go,
oh. Which is the bottom line, is that we often, we want everybody to fit into our own ideas about how things should be and how they should look like. And when they don't, that's exactly what we do. It scares us. And it comes from going back to old beliefs. Instead of recognizing that we're each unique individual reflections or expressions of source energy. It's like looking at a diamond, and each cut in the diamond, we're all part of that diamond. We're all part of source. But each cut is unique, and it's meant to be unique. It's not meant to be the same. If everything were the same cut, there'd be no worth in the diamond. There'd be
right,
no cuts,
no sparkle.
There's no diamond. No sparkle. It's right. Yeah. And we have this old belief that says we all need to be more alike. And I remember growing up with that sense of community and sense of everybody being on board, same values, same beliefs, all of that. And that was a beautiful time in its own way. However, it was also created a lot of separation. Mm-hmm. And it created a lot of racism, in other words, differences became very threatening then. And we're in a different time where, instead of it looking for the sameness, I think we're moving into a time of celebrating the unique differences that, look at how creative force is.
Yes, I think you've nailed it. That when we get stuck in ego-based identity, which is, I am one of these, I'm in this group, and I'm in that group, and here are all my labels for who I am and the groups that I belong to. And, that feels good because it feels safe, because we're social creatures and we feel safe when we belong in a community, right? But then it makes, just like you said, the difference. Different becomes a threat. But wait, but why? But why is that a threat? And I get it. There was a day long, many thousands of years ago, where different tribe, is this a threat? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But these days, if we can see it as that potential for collaboration and creation, they could bring something. Oh, they're different. They have something to offer that we don't already have.
Yes, it's very exciting when you're able to.
Yeah. It's and it's fantastic. And I see that shift. And this is so funny. I'm gonna pick on Rich Roll for a second. I adore his podcast. He's got this fantastic podcast. He brings on these really fascinating guests on everything from athletics to spirituality, really high quality content. And he had a person on there talking many things. And one thing they spoke of was leadership. And he had this young man on the podcast who was speaking about lessons in leadership. And he was talking about this new way of leading, that's, it's so new. It's collaborative. It's nurturing. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So you mean like the leadership that women have been demonstrating for millennia? And I'm like,
yeah, they're catching on finally.
It's finally catching on. But I do feel that shift, whether we see it as new, and if we have to see it as new to get it to catch on, cool. But I do see that shift from everywhere in our social lives and individual personal lives to our projects that we work on or professional lives. This shift is happening from instead of coming at everything from a framework, right, where your initial framework when you enter is one of being adversarial or competition, winning and losing. Right. And we're kind of coming out of that. We're like sort of melting out of that into this idea of, well, what if you walked into the room with a framework of who could I collaborate with? What could we create that's yes. even bigger than any one of us? And yes. it's not a new way of thinking, but that sort of more yin style of approach is catching on. And it works. And it's so funny. I apply this on the tech geek side of my life. And it just works. It just all works so much better. Right. And you get these differences. So I look at other projects in the same space and they're coming at it with that adversarial winners and losers. There shall only be one remaining. They come at it that way, right? It's about winning, being on top, you know, just drowning out these other projects. And I let them go into their battle arena and do their thing. And then meanwhile, we just very quietly over here on the side with our project, collaboratively helping each other, co-creating, creating ideas. And we're outrunning them all. Just over here on the side, real quiet, like just building and collaborating.
It's really, yeah. You know, that whole, again, the old belief system of lifting yourself up by your bootstraps, that was right. American. I lived in Brazil and I speak fluent Portuguese for those people out there who are looking for counselors that understand Brazil. I lived there I'm half Brazilian, really. And then and need somebody to speak in Portuguese with people they know, feel free to contact Guru Catherine and she'll get me in touch with you. But what I was thinking of is how tribal it was. And I was 17 years old when I went to live in Brazil and lived in a tribal place where everybody worked together and it was cooperative. And it was so wonderful. It was so challenging for me when I came back here and I felt again that separation. I felt alone. I felt separation because the old belief system was, you know, you got to make it happen. And it's you against the world. And it's right. you against everybody else competing for the same thing. And your parents are competing to get your kid into the right kindergarten so they can go to the right elementary school, so they can go to the right college. I mean, it's insane what we do here. And there, yeah. it's very tribal. And so what's happening is now with the shift of the planet, the actual hemispheres are the male-dominated hemisphere, northern hemisphere of the United States, versus the southern hemisphere, which is more maternal or more matriarchal, they're shifting. And yeah. the northern hemisphere is going into more of patriarchal influence and the southern hemisphere more matriarchal because they've been more tribal. And so it's very interesting that we're actually going back to what we left. Because the military industrialized complex has created so much separation from inside of us and also as a society. Mm-hmm. So, and we're finally saying, no. I mean, it's such a wonderful thing when you start working collaboratively with people, as you know. Yeah. It's just, I don't want to do anything alone now. I want to do everything with other people, just like we're doing now. You know, yeah. on this podcast or on this, whatever we're doing here, but it doesn't really matter. Name
flowing
the
chat.
What matters is that
yeah.
we're doing it together. And that's what makes it so yummy and juicy. We don't have to do this alone. We don't have to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. We can work together, create community, share, and in that create the connection we've been missing our whole lives in this country. We've been missing connection and community. Yes. And I've had that. I've lived with it. Once you have it, it's like the best tasting delicacy you've ever won. And you just want more of it. You never want to go back. Yeah. It's like awakening. You never want to go back. Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. Once you wake up, you can't go back. Well, and you know, I'm only now getting to really exercise this more collaborative model of leadership, this co-creation model of leadership. I did not come up in that. I grew up in that very, you know, from the time I was about four, the message was, you're on your own, kid, right? You're on your own. You are alone. Exactly. You better figure it out, find a way, you know, to make it on your own and be able to do everything yourself. And, you know, there was lack of trust in anyone else, you know, which can just come from negative experiences. And so it's not as easy as it sounds to just dive right into a collaborative co-creation style of working with that, right? It says, oh, we'll just do it collaboratively now. Flipping that switch is not easy because I think a lot of the Yang style leadership where it's, you know, it's hierarchical. I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to do it, you know, do, right. Task oriented, competitive, only one shall stand, that kind of
competition.
Yeah. Cause I think the root of that is actually a lack of trust because I've noticed the more that I let go and trust, the easier the collaborative leadership is. But it's about letting go and trusting. It's not easy.
It is about letting go and trusting, but it's also, to me, what finally started to come up for me, because I still have my own control issues that come up because of my X amount of years being raised in the old stuff. So the new stuff is, I don't want to be in control. The old stuff is, you better or something bad's going to happen. See, that's the old thought. If you're not in control, yeah, something bad's going to happen.
So it is
a trust, but it's also what I realized is the bottom line came for me. I had to ask myself the question, even doing like opening this up to community, am I going to come from a place of fear that there are going to be conflicts, that they're going to be, you know, which there will be, you know, it's going to be tough, it's going to be this, that, or am I going to do this from a place, a desire in the heart to connect, to come from a place of love and trust, understanding this is all we need. Love is what we need. Love is what we want. And so even if we're trusting the wrong person, if we're doing it in love, it doesn't really matter. It's all going to, you know, ultimately, the biggest and greatest power is love. So if we're doing it from a place of love, no matter what happens, it's okay. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It sounds naive.
It can sound naive, but I've seen this work because you have to trust, right? And a lot of people, especially coming up the way we did, or anybody in the Western world, right? You come up with this lack of trust in other people. Now, sometimes that's because you had bad experiences and you said, I will not trust other people because they hurt me, or whatever it is, right? Or just the way you grew up. But I've seen that this can be applied in a very not naive way by sort of searching for that blending, that amalgamation of the two styles, right? I can trust myself to put healthy boundaries so that I won't be taken advantage of, but I can be open to collaboration with others and creation. And in the meantime, I'm a toxic person might get in there every now and again, and you have to go, okay, you're out. But I'm going to stay open. And another one gets in. Okay, you're out. But I'm going to stay open. But I have my healthy boundaries. And And it's all how you see like the shadow side and the light side, right? So the shadow side looks like you're on your own, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. The light side is the light side of that same thing just says, don't be afraid to try, you can do it, right? Try, even though it takes courage or you may have fear, just try the thing that's in your mind and that's the dream that you want to try. And you're never alone, right? And they're mixing that with, and you're never alone. And you find the people who feel the same as you, who feel passionate about the thing, you know, that they have a similar dream, and you work together to build that dream. And it works. But then the trust really comes in there again, because we're so used to these hierarchical leadership models that although it does require leadership to be demonstrated, but you also want to start handing off that responsibility of leadership to other people. You don't want to keep it all for yourself.
Exactly.
So you've got to start the dance party, but when other people start to join you, you hand off that leadership, you know, to them, and then Absolutely. They in turn start to slowly hand that off.
I like how you use the word handing it off, by the way, because in a way, it is a handing off. You're actually willing to risk some potential loss of control when you hand over whatever it is that you're handing over to somebody. But it's kind of like what a parent does with a child. And we're all just children, really. That's all we are. Yes. In fact, we're so much still children that we still have temper tantrums when things don't go our ways, and we don't see it that way, maybe. But it's like, how often do you get frustrated, angry, annoyed, whatever, when people aren't doing what you want them to do, when life is happening and you're not willing to meet life on life's terms?
Yes.
That's what a three-year-old does. They have a temper tantrum. I'm still having them sometimes. What? It shouldn't be this way. Oh, there it is again. That should. No, it's so funny. I have to laugh at myself. Now I can see that three-year-old inside myself, you know? But we're still doing it. We're doing it to ourselves and we're doing it to each other. It's, you know,
right.
But in the end, it just has to come from, I'm willing to love you just as you would a child. I'm willing to love you through this growth, knowing that if I did it, it would probably be done faster, more accurately, because I have a lot more experience and I've been doing this a long time. But none of that really matters. The sharing matters. The connection matters. Yeah. The willingness to allow somebody else to step up. It's like what I wish all these politicians would do. Would they all retire and spend time with their grandchildren as they should, and their great-grandchildren, because some of them have been in there forever, and they need to move aside and let the young people go have a go at it. Well, in essence, that's what we're doing. We're sharing in a way that's also connecting us, and it's giving up that need to control. And that is at the root of all of our old beliefs, and that we don't want to let go of, is this feeling that somehow they gave us control. Those old beliefs gave us control. They didn't.
Right. They did not.
It felt like.
Right. And it's so funny, you think you have control, you don't. And when you let that go, you can start to see how you don't have control, but you have a choice. You have choices.
Yes.
And where you can make choices, you make choices. And then you see where that leads you. And where you can't make choices, you just have to let it go. And let it be. Just let it be. There's all these fascinating concepts. Trust, control. What is leadership? What is all of these are being brought up strongly for us to take a look at and ask these questions of lately. And I think it's actually really good for us as humanity. I love being called out on my own, on my own mess. I love that aha moment where I go, oh, look at that. Look at that belief I've been stuck in. This is does this serve me anymore? Is this useful to me? Wow, I didn't know that was in there. And then we get to look at it and decide where to go from there. And I think we better wrap up. We were at 35 minutes, but this has been
That went by fast.
I know. But it's been such an absolute joy, Carrie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is big fun. We need to do this some more. We need to talk about all the things some more. And it's so nice to have your perspective on things with your knowledge from psychology. Which is an interesting yang to the yin. To blend those experiences of the more academic psychology with the spirituality and how those are coming together, because I often find when the science and the spirituality come to the same conclusion, you have a powerful truth and a useful thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. This has been so much fun.
Yes.